Pastor Curtis Dieterding, and you're listening to Scripture Readings and a sermon from Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Fergus Falls, Minnesota.
The Old Testament reading appointed for this, the 11th Sunday after Pentecost, is recorded in the book of Jeremiah, the 15th chapter. O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me, and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, take me not away. Know that for your sake I bear reproach. Your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of revelers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because your hand was upon me, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you be to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail? Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, I will restore you, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall be as my mouth. They shall turn to you, but you shall not turn to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you. For I am with you, to save you and deliver you, declares the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading, the epistle reading, is from Romans, the 12th chapter, beginning at verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Continue to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the singing of the Alleluia in verse. Matthew, the 16th chapter. This reading also serves as today's sermon text. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the word of the Lord. Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As I was sharing with the children here just a minute ago, living life to the fullest is actually living life in such a way as to lose it, to use it up for Him. He doesn't want us to hoard our life, keeping it all to ourselves, using it for our own sinful means. It sounds kind of like an odd instruction when you hear it. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. To lose life is to find life. You know, when we meet people and we strike up a conversation with them, we usually have a series of questions that we ask. And one of those questions is, "What do you do for a living?" When we ask that question, we're not actually asking them how it is that they live their lives. What are they doing as far as how they're living life? We're asking them what they do for a job, their occupation, where do they work? It's interesting how we connect this with living our lives. But if you think about it, look at how much of your life you do spend actually working in your vocation or your career. And so it actually makes sense to say something like, "What do you do for a living?" But there is more to living life than just working at a job or a career. Jesus' primary goal while living in this world was to lose his life for your sake. In fact, Jesus came into this world knowing that he would lose his life all throughout his ministry, constantly being servant of all. And then he also knew too, as we heard again, prophesied in the gospel reading again this morning, that he would literally be giving his life, laying it down, losing it all on the cross. And of course, losing his life literally saves ours. This tends to defy all logic. When Jesus told his disciples that he had to lose his life to be killed in order to conquer the enemy of life, death itself, and then be raised again, victorious over death in 3 days, Peter would have no part of it. He rebuked Jesus, saying to him, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." Well, Peter meant well. I mean, logically, why would you want your Lord to face death? Why would the disciples allowed Jesus to be put to death? Why weren't more of them jumping forward with Peter? Death is not an option. Death means defeat. No, never, Lord, you will not do this. Yet, before we're too quick to judge Peter, this is the way we do think in this world. The famous George S. Patton, I didn't think I'd ever quote him because he's hard to quote, but I cleaned it up a little bit, softened his words, once said, "Nobody ever won a war by dying for his country. You win a war by making the other poor guy die for his country." This makes sense. I mean, after all, who wants to die? The objective in war is to kill your enemy before he has a chance to kill you. Laying down your life is for losers. There's no more life after that. There's nothing to enjoy in the rational thinking that we have in this world. And of course, as followers of Christ, we know better. These words of Christ actually don't sound odd to us. I can also cite another story from the military that proves that some have indeed helped us to win wars, that have fought by dying and laying down their lives for their country. And I've heard these stories about how those that are in command have used methods to find out which of the guys in their troop, among their troops, were the bravest, the ones that would stand out above all the others. Maybe you've seen that sometime when a commander is giving instructions, for example, on how to use a hand grenade, pulling the pin and talking to the troops, and then accidentally allowing it to slip from his hand into the midst of them, and then turning like he's going to run. And then he turns around and he stays put to see which man might actually jump on top of the grenade to save all the others. That's the man they usually want leading the troops. These men who are willing to lose their lives completely for those around them. And this is more of what Jesus has in mind when he's talking to Peter about losing your life in order to find it. The greatest and most holy test of losing life for others came when Jesus himself came and sacrificed and allowed himself to be sacrificed to death for our sakes on the cross. What looked to most people like a travesty of justice, a dark and gloomy day, became an event that would turn our world upside down. Jesus turned the world on its head the day that he died on the cross. He looked weak, but he was victorious. He looked like a loser, but actually this Savior made us winners over death forever. This year is the 10th anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks that happened there in New York City. And ever since we have heard about that tragic event, we've heard many, many stories of how people have literally lost their lives, spent losing their lives, denying themselves and taking up their cross and living life for others. And a story written about one of the heroes that day goes like this. It was not Wells Crowther's job to save anyone's life on September 11th. He worked for Sandler O'Neill and Partners on the 104th floor of the South Tower as an equities trader. At about 9 o'clock in the morning, he was on the phone in his office when the disaster struck. And immediately, Crowther, who served as a volunteer firefighter when he was a teenager, sprung into action. About Crowther, Judy Wine said, "Out of nowhere, a young man burst in and he took control. And in a strong, authoritative voice, he directed them to the stairway, which was veiled by darkness, wreckage, and haze, telling the injured to get out and the healthy to help them down. I see this incredible hero running back and forth and saving the day," recalled Judy. In his mind, he had the duty to save people. Ling Young said of Crowther, "He's definitely my guardian angel. No ifs, ands, or buts, because without him, we would be sitting there waiting until the building came down." Wine and Young were separated by a few minutes and a few floors that day, but they share a similar story about the single hero, Wells Crowther. Both women credit the Equities trader and volunteer firefighter with saving their lives and dozens of others that September 11th. Crowther had been credited with saving at least 18 lives that day, if not more. And one of the people he helped escape, Ling Young, still keeps a framed photo of him in her home. He exited, and then he entered the building at least three times, helping evacuate trapped victims. He ultimately perished when he entered the building one last time before it collapsed, following other firefighters making their way up the South Tower with the jaws of life to go and free more people. His body wasn't recovered until March 19, 2002. Wells Crowther was an investment banker, not a firefighter or a police officer. He could have easily, just as everyone else, exited the building and got himself to safety with no shame whatsoever. Instead, he found the courage to go above and beyond what was required of him, losing his life in order to save the countless lives of others. Jesus is not asking us to literally lose our lives for others, unless maybe the situation might ask for it. What he means by losing our lives is giving our lives in daily service, putting the interests of others before our own. Jesus, you see, has redefined what our lives now look like. His life shows us how to lose our lives for his sake, by showing us in his own life how he lost his life for ours. We have been marked with the sign of his cross in baptism. The cross on our heads and our hearts. You see, his signature is in our lives. And now we live our lives differently. We know what it means when Jesus says things like, "Take up your cross and follow me." We know what it means whenever he says, "To find life, you must lose it." Jesus now uses us to be part of his holy work through the losing of our own lives. Many Christians are still being literally persecuted and martyred around the world, but there is more to losing our lives than just being physically persecuted and physically dying. And here at Trinity, we do see how God is helping us by the power of the Holy Spirit to lose our lives for Jesus' sake. Every time there's an act of love or care shown to each other, to those around us, every time there's a word of forgiveness spoken when someone's been hurt, every sacrificial act that we do is losing our lives for Christ's sake. Every minute, every hour, every day that we're spending living our lives in service to God and one another is one less minute, hour, or day that we're spending it in our own selfish and worldly desires. So maybe the next time that someone asks you, "What do you do for a living?" you might say, "Oh, I'm a Christian. My living is dying for Jesus. My gain is giving, and my victory is losing. Losing my life is truly living life." God defines our lives every day. He bought your life for a significant price. It is his right, but this is also a very good thing, for God defines our lives through his own act of salvation. We are not the people of angelic glory or mighty heroes from some pagan mythology, but Jesus has invited us to take up our cross, to follow him, the cross on which he died for the salvation of all of us. And it's not an easy thing to be, but it is the highest and the holiest thing. And for the times that we have not lost our lives for his sake, he still forgives us and gives us the strength to lose our lives some more, so that we can find what life really is a life in Christ Jesus. We are people from whom the Lord of life has laid down His life. We are the people of the greatest gift ever given. Defined by His great sacrifice for us, we proclaim His death until He comes by losing our life. Losing our life is the way to live life to its fullness here in this world. So go and live life, losing it for others, losing it for your Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for worshiping with Trinity Lutheran Church and School, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. We are located at 1150 West Cavour Avenue in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, just behind the museum. On Sunday mornings, we have a worship service at 9 a.m. and adult and teen Bible classes at 10:30 a.m. To contact the church office, call 218-736-4869. To contact Trinity Lutheran School, call 218-736-5847. You can also visit us online at www.trinityff.org. If you would like to make a donation to help continue this broadcast, please call the church office at 218-736-4869. This is Pastor Curtis Dieterding encouraging you to go in peace and serve the Lord.